This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about blackberries.
Yes. Mm. And I love blackberries.
Me too. Blackberries. Oh, yeah. I'm a big berry person in general. They're just a
That's
really...
what they say about you. She's a big berry person.
The fruit, the TV show, the whole package. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Was there any particular reason it was on your mind?
It was kind of like the topic of a fruit or vegetable was sort of due in my weird concept of a schedule for episode topics. And I was like, what's a good summer fruit and or vegetable? And yeah, I realized we had not done an episode on blackberries. So here we are.
Here we are. Oh, I love them. I love them. When I was a kid, we had a bunch of blackberry bushes. Like a bunch of them in our backyard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we would go out in the summer and we would have these buckets and we would just collect all the blackberries. And it was just the best thing. It was
good. Absolutely. Like a fresh berry right off of a bush that you've just pulled off of a bush is one of the absolute best things on the planet. So.
Yes. Yes. And they were so like sweet but tart. It was so good.
Yeah. If they're like a little bit warm from the sun, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think, like, as an adult, but also as a kid, when you're, it just feels like, oh, I'm in, like, I don't know, some book I've read about them collecting berries. Or like,
I'm on an adventure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think I talked about this in the blueberry episode. We used to have blueberry bushes, too. They're kind of all gone. I don't know. I'll have to check if the blackberry bushes are still there, because it was a lot of them.
Sure. Blackberries are very prolific, tenacious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to check. I've been meaning to check because I do love them, and they are very expensive. I used to buy them every week.
Yeah, they've gotten pricey.
Yeah, I had to give, like, I calculated my budget and I had, like, the price of berries was a huge chunk of pretty small amount I was spending every week at the grocery store pre-pandemic. So I had to give them up. But I love them.
Yeah, yeah. I do. Yeah. I will buy them when they're, right, like, in season, on sale. That is when I go for. I totally buy produce based on, like, whatever's cheap that day.
We used to make blackberry cobbler with ice cream, and it was one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Yes, and one of my Star Wars nerdy cocktails, the Tatooine Sunrise, which is essentially like a French 75 with rosemary, But then it has two blackberries in it, which are the two.
Are the twin sons. Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty good. I might have one over this holiday weekend.
Ooh, all right. All right. Yes. Oh, man. I could see that working with kumquats, too.
All right. Ooh, yeah. Ideas. Yes. Well, we have done a lot of berry episodes.
Sure. Related. Sure. I would say, like pineapple is one that comes to mind as a similar type of fruit.
I feel like we've done raspberry, have we?
I feel like we've done raspberry.
I think we have. We did like raspberry or brambleberry or something.
Yeah. And cloudberries. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've done some things in there.
Probably.
So to you to look them up.
Who knows? We don't know.
We don't know. We're like sprinting to the finish of this weekend, this holiday week.
I feel like we've said it before, but like I think we both jettison all information like right out the airlock as soon as we finish an episode.
Yeah, and I just have the vaguest sense of like I remember jettisoning that.
I get. Yeah, my friends will ask me, like, oh, what were you just working on today? And I'm like,
no one knows.
Nope. Could
literally
have been anything.
No one.
Anyway.
But I guess that brings us to our question. Blackberries. What are they?
Well, the blackberry is a type of fruit that is not botanically a berry. It is a multiple fruit drupe, which means that it's made up of tiny individual fruits that have all grown smooshed together in a single unit about the size of, like, the ball of your thumb. Or, like, the ball of my thumb. I don't know what your thumb is like. Your thumb mileage may vary. When it's ripe, it has this very thin, delicate, purple-black skin encasing flesh that's very soft and juicy, but has, like, a little bit of a crunch and chew to it overall, because each of those little mini fruits contain a tiny seed, and because the structure that they grew on is stuck inside the berry, unlike a raspberry, which comes free of its structure, which is why they're hollow. Blackberries are sweet, tart, and tangy, and fruity, and like just a tiny bit like floral and fresh tasting. Mostly though, they taste like purple.
Yeah
Like dark purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not like Grimace purple. That's a different.
No,
flavor.
And not like grape.
No
artificial flavor purple.
No,
like
no.
True purple.
And they're just delightful little like juice multi bombs with a really nice contrast of textures. They're like that friend who is just an absolute marshmallow of a human person on the outside, but they're actually really complex, and they have got a dang backbone under all that fluff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it starts out, like, really sweet and, like, soft, and then there's that tartness and kind of texture that comes in.
Yeah.
Once again, very good, Lauren.
And shout out to that friend, because that friend is always such a good friend. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Okay. The term blackberry does refer to a number of species in the genus Rubus, both wild and cultivated. They're in the rose family, and they grow in these, like, shrubby, viney, leafy brambles, pretty much everywhere temperate all over the world. The thorny stems are called canes, and they vary a little bit in how they grow species to species, but they spend their first year of life like growing a network of canes, which can trail to the ground and take root. They grow taproots, which is it's like what a carrot is, all right? Like they're a source of nutrition for the plant over the winter, except, you know, in the case of carrots, we eat them instead of letting the plant use it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Suckers. You don't have opposable thumbs or nervous systems. There's nothing you can do about a carrot. Then in a blackberry's second year, once they're established, they will bloom in little pink or white five-petaled flowers. And each flower contains multiple ovaries, each of which, if pollinated, will start developing into a tiny individual fruit. But they're so close together that they kind of like Voltron up into a single fruit. That fruit will be oblong, maybe an inch or so, like 3 centimeters. They're greenish and firm while they're developing. Then they turn like deep blush red when they're unripe and will darken and soften and sweeten. Sweeten? Sure, as they ripen. They're sold fresh or frozen or processed into purees or juices. They can be eaten fresh out of hand or like in a salad, cooked down and strained to make jams or jellies or sauces, either sweet or savory. They can be baked whole or chopped into pies or sweet muffins or other baked goods. The puree can be frozen into sorbets or other desserts. The juice can be made into wine or liqueurs. They can be dried and added to cereals. The leaves and taproots are also used to make teas, but more like medicinally than for funsies, I think, most of the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although they do add a nice astringency. So there you go. They are also grown as border hedges in some cultures. I mean, if I came upon a blackberry bramble, I certainly would not try to move through it. Like, that is not a shrub you want to mess with.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I will say, aside for a moment, I also had at my aunt and uncle's house when I was growing up, they had blackberry bushes kind of out in the back. I try very hard to not cuss in front of my grandmother because mm-hmm. she is a very nice lady and it would offend her. And like not saying things that offend people is like the easiest baseline human thing to do, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And I think like one of the only times in my life that I've ever slipped was when we were picking blackberries and I kept sticking myself with the thorns and I'm just going like, damn it. I still feel bad about it to this day.
Yeah. Those things stick with you, you know?
You know, I'm sure no one else remembers this. Anyway, okay. aside.
What about the nutrition?
On their own, any kind of cussing shame aside, blackberries are pretty good for you. Lots of micronutrients and fiber. You know, they can be on the sugary side. They will help fill you up, but to keep you going, I'd say eat a protein, a little bit of fat. They are delicious, by the way, with especially like a darker meat, like a game meat, maybe like a venison or a duck or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Medicinally speaking, okay, so like these are plants that have been used as see above, like teas and stuff for a long time for a whole lot of different purposes. And they do contain, right, a bunch of tannins and other antioxidants, which can help prevent negative effects in your body. But, you know, saver motto. More research is necessary. Bodies are complicated. Before ingesting a medicinal amount of anything, you should consult a medical health professional who is not us.
No.
That's not what we are.
Mm-mm.
No.
Never.
I just eat berries.
That's what they say. Oh, well. We do have some numbers for you.
We do. Commercial farms can produce some 6,000 pounds per acre per year.
Whew. Mm-hmm. The U.S. blackberry market was valued at $31.1 million in 2017. And with some outliers, from 1980 to 2006, about 23 million pounds of blackberries, and I believe specifically produced in the U.S., mm-hmm. have been frozen for commercial sale. And this is in part due to how delicate blackberries are and how quickly they go bad, which I'm sure most of us are familiar with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The U.S. also imports a lot of blackberries, about 130 million pounds fresh, largely from Mexico, and frozen, about 24 million, largely from Chile.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there are so many blackberry festivals around the United States. I think I looked at like a dozen before I ran out of steam. And like, yeah, so like, okay, one in North Carolina has a blackberry eating contest and a blackberry cobbler parade with free cobbler. I'm not sure how it works. Let us know. Bremerton, Washington has one that draws some 25,000 visitors and offers over 15 blackberry-themed foods, plus bottles of blackberry wine for just $14, plus a kids area called On Your Berry Way. A new festival this year in Louisiana had a jam and jelly competition and featured blackberry dumplings specifically. Another one out in Round Valley, California is in its 40th year. They have a car show, square dancing, and what appears to be berry stomping. Again, right in. There's a blackberry jam festival in Lowell, Oregon that has horseshoes and cornhole, which I did not know that you could have together. I thought that those were...
Streams will never cross.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also have a blackberry eating contest where you cannot use your hands. And so you just like put your face down into like a bowl of blackberries. And this has led to one of my new favorite photographs on the entire planet, which is this child with like red blackberry stains on his face, looking exactly as feral as I feel inside.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel like, you know, kind of war paint, like blackberry jeans. Right.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, this is amazing. I gotta look this up.
I posted on my Twitter account, so you can go.
Nice. Perfect. I love these rules we put in place. Like, eat as many blackberries as you can without your hands. Okay.
Like, all right.
Cool. Let's add that in there. Sure. Well, we do have quite the history for you.
We do. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
We're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, blackberries are native to several areas, including the Americas, Asia, and Europe.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And they have been used medicinally in North America and Europe for hundreds of years, and then all the way back to ancient Greece. And not just the berries, the bark, the leaves and teas, the juice, and for all kinds of things used to treat like eye ailments, stomach ailments, mouth ailments. Mm-hmm. Before I realized I have a thing with tea, I really liked a blackberry tea.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Nice and tart, right?
It bums me out. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's all right. No, you understand. You understand.
I indeed do.
Indeed, yes. The indigenous Americans used blackberries culinarily in all kinds of ways as well. They would make them into cakes that could be reconstituted with water for the winter, and they would make fruit leather, or they'd put it in pemmican, which we've talked about before, kind of like an early energy granola bar thing.
Yeah, sure. With meat. Yeah.
With meat.
Like a jerky bar. Yeah.
Which I bet was really good. Oh, again, with the blackberries, right? And yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just for instance. In the Middle Ages in Europe, blackberries were used to make a pigment on manuscripts, specifically.
Huh.
Yeah. Some 16th century cookbooks claimed that the berries were bad for the stomach and caused bad moods because the berries were so sensitive.
What?
It was so sensitive.
They'll make you sensitive because they're sensitive? Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. But people, especially those from the lower class, still ate them. and by the 18th century, that idea had faded away completely. And in fact, they were considered a healthy, profitable crop by then. Around the time in England, the berries were used to make dyes for textiles. So I just find that very funny that it went from like bad mood, don't eat it, to it's a health food.
Yeah.
yeah. The so-called Himalayan giant blackberry, not from the Himalayas, but from Armenia and northern Iran, was purposely introduced to Europe in 1835 as a crop. And it spread rapidly throughout Europe, very rapidly. Uh-huh. And then later, Luther Burbank introduced them to the U.S. West Coast, where they quickly took root and also spread very rapidly with the help of birds and deer. There are so many essays and articles you can find about how and why they spread so quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. By 1945, these berries were well established there. And Burbank was not formally trained, but he was very big into horticulture. He brought this farm, he purchased this farm to experiment, and he intended to develop fresh fruits and vegetables that could survive transport for longer so that urban centers could have access to these things. So again, blackberries, very delicate, very sensitive, hard to transport, trying to find a hybrid or something that would survive that transport. And he is the one that gave this berry its name. It's thought because of the size of the berry and not the place of origin, although I believe he thought that they were from India, like he purchased the seeds from India. So it's possible it was both. Allegedly, he is responsible for 800 strains of plants and varietals.
Wow.
It is largely considered an invasive species, or at least a menace in these areas. Like, I've read a lot of, like, hate love articles.
Tenacious was a really good, Annie suggested that to me, and you are correct. Yes, they they are very good at growing. That's why they're native to everywhere in the world, because birds like them to spread the seeds when they fly, and then they just grow like heck in pretty much any kind of soil.
Yes, yes. And it just numerous articles of people being like, well, I can't. It's the taste of summer, and I love them, but also they destroy all these other things, and I hate them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
If you are planting them in your yard, be careful.
Yes. Yes. And it is a serious problem in Australia, where it was introduced over 150 years ago, and New Zealand, and they, like, have rules around it, trying to get rid of it. So, yes, be careful. Do your research. Burbank also had some, shall we say, interesting views on eugenics.
Oh, yay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. From what I read, Frida Kahlo painted him using his corpse as a reference.
Okay, Frida.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Please let me know if that's true. I believe that's what I ran into.
All right. Thing to Google later. That's
yes.
Into it.
Or not. cultivation and hybridization of the blackberry took place in the U.S. between 1850 and 1860. And during the American Civil War, one of the ways some Southern Americans made a living was by berry picking, blackberry picking, typically done by women and children who sold these berries door to door. It was something bordering on play for children. Like, even though it was work, it was kind of like what I was talking about earlier, where you feel like, oh, it's a little fun thing I can do. Mm-hmm. And it was an activity that built social ties. People would talk why they did it. These blackberries were used to make desserts like cobblers, dumplings, preserves, wine. They were still used medicinally as well. In 1876, a Southern newspaper published this quote, "To be cheerful, as the blackberry crop hardly ever fails, it is good to think that there is something still to depend on, is it not?"
Hmm.
Yeah. However, many people were picking berries not grown on their land. And several anti-trespassing laws were enacted in the 1870s and 80s to prevent that. And many of these were racist because many black families used blackberry picking to supplement their income. So it was a very targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the laws were very targeted.
Skipping ahead mostly as an excuse for food poetry. the children's picture book Jamberry, published in 1983 by Bruce Degan? Sure. And to include a quote from it. I don't know how many of y'all grew up with this book. I definitely did. I don't know if Annie's shaking her head.
No, but I'm excited.
Okay. It's a really sweet little picture book about a kid and a bear like going on a berry picking adventure. As you do. And, all right. So here, a quote from it. "Quickberry, quackberry, pick me a blackberry. Rumble and ramble and blackberry bramble. Billions of berries for blackberry jamble."
Ooh.
This is cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like blackberry jamble.
Right?
Sounds fun. As recently as the 1990s. It wasn't common to see blackberries in retail stores, or at least, like, not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they were largely gathered at U-pick locations or farmers markets due to how perishable and delicate they were. And I know we talked about that in our strawberry episode, too.
Yeah.
Because that was my... I've had experience with U-pick with strawberries and apples and blueberries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever did blackberries, though. But yeah, it's just where you go and pick your own. but the introduction of new cultivars changed the whole game. Access to fresh berries, coupled with the touting of blackberries as a health food, only increased demand. And it increased it by a significant amount. And I just had to put this in here because this didn't come up in my research. I just happened to come across it. The first BlackBerry device, which I had one.
Oh, you did? Oh.
I did, but it's so funny because I didn't get a phone. I mean, it must have been like 2006.
Sure.
So I was like way behind. I was in a strange place in terms of technology. but the first BlackBerry device was introduced in 1999. And now there's a movie about it, about like its rise and fall.
Yeah. Yeah, and okay, all right, like you put this note in here, as I was doing my reading today, I had to really specify, like, know the fruit, not the technology company. And so I'm going to go a little bit tech stuff on y'all. If anyone here remembers me from the days that I was on tech stuff, I'm sorry. I was not good at my job then. I was still learning. But okay. So yes, the first BlackBerry was a two-way like pager/email device. If you're unfamiliar, it had a full keyboard,
like plus a small screen on something the size of a modern smartphone. Actual phone capacity did not come until the next model. but yeah, they came in black. And part of why it was named the BlackBerry was because the keys like kind of resemble the sections of a blackberry fruit. I don't know. Lexicon Branding is the company that suggested the name. They've also named products like the Swiffer and the Apple PowerBook. So, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. and like really though, like if y'all were not in touch with the tech world or the business world in the early 2000s, it is hard to explain how big the brand was. Like by 2010, like a little bit over a decade after introduction, they had 43% of the smartphone market in the United States. People called them crackberries because people were like always on them, like always checking them and tapping that tiny, tiny keyboard.
It was so small.
It was so small. Heck. But yeah, but then touchscreens happened. And the brand fumbled and just never recovered. They pivoted to digital security services and then shut down all device services in 2022. Yeah.
I still have mine. I always have. I'm like very survivalist in terms of technology, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
But I have all of my old phones. So
yeah.
I still have
same.
It. And it's, yeah. The keyboard is so small.
So little.
Your
very tiny.
Your finger is so big.
Yeah.
Compared to the keyboard.
Right. I mean, and I've got tiny little noodle fingers. Like, I can't imagine an actual human-sized human using this thing. No.
But I remember when I got it, because my parents were very much in the line of, like, we're not going to get you a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, like, the cheapest of the cheap. And so I would get, like, the latest, whatever was, like, way out of trend. Mm-hmm. But when I got a BlackBerry, I remember being like, whoa,
yeah,
so cool.
Right? I mean, that was my immediate response. Like, I was like, wow, you were a cool kid.
I was not.
Yeah, I think that's an incorrect thought on my part. I don't think that made anybody cool necessarily. I never had one, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Tamagotchi feel. I had like that big screen. Anyway, we're going off.
We are. Oh my goodness. okay. Anyway, about we're ostensibly a food show. In 2004, the University of Arkansas released the first cultivars that can fruit in their first year. Yeah.
Mm.
Exciting.
Research is ongoing with the BlackBerry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they are still, yeah, like I said, I feel like when I can find them, I have to be very careful because they might already be bad.
Yeah, yeah. They are one of the products that I do inspect pretty carefully because, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll check next time I go home. I want to see if they're still there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely report back.
Yes. Mm-mm. But I think that's what we have to say about the BlackBerry for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily. as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
And I always associate blackberries with like sunrise and sunset.
Sure. Yeah. It's that kind of color palette. You've got that deep purple and that bright red. Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of that like being out in the summer and the passage of the sun.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Jan wrote, he was writing in about my comments about using sugar based weapons in Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
Yes. Jan wrote, "You think so little of your dungeon players, Annie. All my cleric would have to do is conjure up a sleet storm or control weather precipitation, assuming we were outside. That sugar sword would be liquid jello in seconds." Which is part of the fun of D&D. You think you're being all amazing and brave and cool, and then... Nope. Absolutely not.
Nope. 0%.
I love it. I never said Ananas, who was this potential character I was talking about, was smart. Just that she, you know, worked in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What could I transfer?
Sure.
But that would have been very, very funny.
That would have been pretty hilarious. Yeah. Oh, man. I knew some.
I'm kind of tempted,
right?
Yeah,
I knew some folks who were running like a weird like Candyland based game, and this it sounds like something that we should absolutely get into.
Yeah. Oh, we talked about it. I think we have too much on our plates for now, but we did talk about doing like a one-off food, D&D campaign podcast. So it could be possible. She'll show up, and I would love to play a character who honestly thought, like, this is the coolest thing.
That's
it will
the
never
good
fail.
Idea. Yeah. Sugar is the scariest thing. So therefore, making weapons out of sugar is the scariest thing.
Yeah. And then it just starts
it just
to
melts.
Rain.
Yeah.
It's over. I like it. I think it'd be fun.
Oh, goodness. Kirsten wrote, "The swordfish episode reminded me of two stories I must share, neither of which involve swordfish. Coincidentally, though, both involve my grandmother's. Annie's story about learning that the family's prized trophy fish wasn't the fish she thought it was reminded me of a similar moment I had with my Grammy's famous pumpkin pie. After hyping it up for days that I was going to make my Grammy's very special and superior pumpkin pie for a work Thanksgiving potluck, I found out the truth. I was poised, pen and paper in hand, standing outside the grocery store when I called Grammy to finally learn the secret family recipe. She started off by telling me, 'Okay, so first you find the Libby's canned pumpkin. This is very important. It must be the Libby's canned pumpkin.' She paused for dramatic effect. 'And then you turn it over and follow the recipe on the back of the can.' Earth shattering. but I stand by it. It's still the best pumpkin pie I've ever had.
Next, the listener mail at the end of the Swordfish episode about biscotti blasted a deeply buried childhood memory to the top of my mind. My bubbe always had a tin of biscotti in the kitchen. The plain ones repulsed me as a small child, but I loved the chocolate-dipped ones. Or, actually, just the chocolate. I vividly remember sneaking into the kitchen, carefully eating all the chocolate off of multiple biscottis, and putting the chewed-up, chocolateless biscotti back in the tin. No idea if anyone ever realized what was happening, but it must have been pretty gross to go for a treat and find a soggy, chewed-up biscotti in the tin. Oh, no. Okay. P.S. It's mango season in Miami again. Pictures of some of this year's haul and utilizations of said mangoes attached. Also, a few pictures of my cats, Swiper, who once ate a whole tin of muffins, and Mosey, who was almost named S'mores for her colors, since I know you guys enjoy furry friend pictures. Yes. Oh, a mango season. Right? Oh, my goodness. My gray cat is always interested in what I'm eating, but once he realizes it's not like salmon, he's not interested in it anymore. Mm. But I have known cats, who would like take anything, like hot dog buns, like whole avocado, like, like anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, maybe a lesson was learned, because I feel like I've done that as a human and I've regretted everything.
Had a bad time.
Yeah, but who knows? Also, yes, mango season. I feel like one of the pictures attached was a mango and rice in a rice wrapper, which I was just saying I had a bunch of.
Could
do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, I do appreciate your story about the pumpkin pie. I know I've said it before. That is an episode of Friends, Nestle, Tollhouse. But also, I had a similar thing with, I would make these. I always knew they were Duncan Hines, but I would make these Duncan Hines brownies in high school. I mean, I guess, thank you, but people assumed they were made from scratch.
Oh, huh.
And they asked me for the recipe, and I was kind of like, do I lie about this, or do I tell them it's just Duncan Hines? Yeah, I think eventually I was just kind of like, it's from a box. So
yeah, you can. I can show you which kind of Duncan Hines I get that I...
I can tell you, like, the specific, because Duncan Hines, a lot of box things do this, but I can tell you the specific, like, egg ratio I use.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah.
But it's, like, one of two options.
Yeah, it's either cakey or chewy, so...
Right. And then my mom, one of her, like... most requested desserts is the Hershey's chocolate pie, which is essentially just melted Hershey's and whipped cream. But it's so good.
Oh, sure.
So I stand by you, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's there's a reason that they have these recipes on the back of these products, because they work.
Right. And I would theorize, as I emailed back, that people did know what was going on with these chocolate-less biscotti. And maybe didn't say anything about it, but... I feel like somebody had to.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love. I love that, because I love when you can tell someone has been in a place based on the food that is there or the food that is missing. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, I love it. I think it's great. But yes, thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening. And we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel.
And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.